You're listening to Comedy Central.
Welcome to episode 66 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
Get ready for the Lemieux episode.
Mmm. 66. Shout out to Mario Lemieux.
That's right.
The greatest ever.
I was very excited when I saw 66 coming up. I've been waiting for this episode, honestly, Greg, the entire time we've been doing the podcast. Like, since episode one. I was just like, I can't wait for 65 more weeks so I can do the Lemieux episode.
I was more looking forward to episode 63 that whole time, you know?
Yeah.
But you're more of a 66 guy. Dave Damashek, our mutual friend, legend, named our podcast studio at the NFL, Studio 66, after wow. Mario Lemieux.
That's amazing. Did you know that Mario was drafted by the Pittsburgh Penguins in 1984?
I did not.
Now you do.
Are we going to talk Mario Lemieux for the whole episode?
Of course not. We've got a whole like great show lined up. You know, we're going to talk about our week. We're going to talk about notes. We're going to give Erica a chance to shine. We got some headlines, some recommendations, and then, of course, the sign-off. But from my lovely niece Paige.
Wow, you really broke it down.
How was your week?
You know, it's a little different. It's feeling just being here with you guys. It's feeling like a little more illicit. Like each week we do this. Like this is the week where Emiko, my wife was saying Anthony's fine, but I don't know about Erica. Mm. You know, nothing personal. She's actually not going to be happy. I volunteered that, but no, more just that, you're around some people who are traveling all over
just
the place.
Just one, and she hasn't flown since the last time I was here.
I also made the case. I was like, no, Erica is being safer about this than the Rosenthal family is. She's been locked inside of her house and, we've already been over here.
We're not touching, except for the equipment that she handed me and put on my face. I clean everything before you guys come and after you guys leave, so I don't worry about it. And I don't worry about this either, that Mario Lemieux won 2 Stanley Cups on the ice and 3 more as an owner, making him the only person in NHL history with his name on the cup as a player and an owner. The only one.
I was going to say, is there anyone in any sport that's won multiple titles as a player and an owner? I don't know. I don't know if George Halas or Paul Brown ever played back in the old NFL days. I don't think so.
We'll have to never think about that again. did you guys have a good week? Were you busy?
That you're going back to that? I mean, you already asked me that once.
What?
Did I have a good week?
Yeah, sometimes people say that a couple times when someone gets so off track talking about George fucking
I mean,
Alice.
we're just having a conversation. I mean, it's a different time right now. I'm glad to be occupied on some level by my kids primarily, but by our other job. Erica and I are doing a daily podcast still over at the NFL. I'm writing like a little bit, and I feel like if I was not so occupied, like that would not be good for me.
Yeah, I had a fun like after you guys left last night, like I'm so bored during.
We're
the
a little weekend. Worried
like,
about you.
The Tuesday is like my favorite. Like I'm just excited to finally, excuse me, have something to do, and we have fun doing the podcast. We had liquor last time. And after you guys left, it was just so much fun doing that podcast. I kept the party going after you guys left. And then woke up the next day and was like, fuck it. Like, cracked another one and started tweeting. And woke up later that day to like 10 text messages being like, are you okay? Like, get it together. That I've been, I think that was rock bottom for me.
Yeah.
I think now I'm...
When was that? I mean, I feel like you make it sound like that was all in 24 hours, but I feel like that was a couple days after the podcast.
No, it was Wednesday morning.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
It went into Thursday a little bit, maybe.
Maybe like another couple tweets on Thursday, but then I deleted everything. But the drinking had stopped. I just kept on. I was so bored. I just kept on tweeting like nonsense to people.
Weren't you
fighting with someone from Pittsburgh at one point?
I was joking around fighting about like different, like the least liked Pittsburgh athletes of all time for some reason, and just started being insulting. And the next morning I woke up and one of my friends, just like a girl I'm friends with, was like, "Hey, your tweet to me last night, like, I know you were joking, but like, it really hurt my feelings."
Oh my God.
And I was just like, oh, I didn't remember sending it. I had to go and like, I looked at it and it was, just, I mean, it was like, just like normal, like just not personal, but just like mean. And one of those, like, when you try to be funny, when you're being mean, you better be fucking really funny. Otherwise, it's just really fucking mean. And so I deleted everything. But I should not be, you know, I don't need to entertain myself for getting into it with internet trolls. And it was like, they were being, like, they were fans of mine, like, you know, trying to get a response. But I was just like, a lot of like, fuck yous and eat shit. I think I told someone that, like, I wanted them to drown in human excrement. Like, I was just like, I just lost my mind and should not have been on the internet.
So yeah, we were a little worried. Emeka suggested that we should be calling you daily just to, like, just to check in. Maybe have Walker and you talk.
Yeah, people have been checking in. I appreciate it whenever anyone does, even when someone's just like, "Hey, thinking about you," as the single person, as one of the only single people that I know.
I thought I was coming over here to see a puppy.
People keep asking if I got the dog. I did not. I thought
you
about
said
it.
On Twitter that you were going to get a dog.
Mm-hmm. I really thought I was going to, and then realized I had to like would have to do extra stuff. I thought about it like I thought about it. Like just ruining my furniture and like regretting it immediately. And mostly it was like, I talked to another friend who thought about getting a dog too. He's a single guy. And he was like, "I don't have to go to the vet in the middle of a pandemic." You know what
well,
I mean?
Plus like, dogs,
I
don't know. They're like all out of dogs right now. I'm not even kidding. I read an article about, this is in New York and it was a couple of weeks ago, but I think it's been true in cities all over the country. Like in terms of shortages, like dogs right now are a shortage, like at foster places, at adoption centers, at like dog stores, because everyone had the same instinct and everyone bought up dogs.
A lot of people are
crazy immediately.
I'm sure. I would believe it. You know what else I read? The only NHL player to ever score 5 goals in 5 different ways in one game, even strength, power play, penalty shot, shorthanded, and empty net is Mario Lemieux.
That is amazing.
Yeah, there's only one of him. He's got dogs, I bet. I bet he's got a couple dogs. But yeah, I was just like, if I got a dog, something would go wrong. And I don't know, where I live, I don't know what the rules are. Mm. You know, I don't know. I've only seen a couple dogs in here. So I know it's dog friendly, but I don't, you know, they have like, sometimes they have like,
you don't want a
rules.
Dog. You travel
sometimes
half the year when
not
when
now.
You're- You can't give the dog back when you go on tour.
No, but at that point, I'd have an assistant. Like, I'm not going on tour for a while, just like material wise.
I get it.
But I could. Now would be the time to do it if I was going to do it. I have a friend who sends me pictures of dogs every day, but I will not be getting a dog.
I thought about this, like, because we both keep a relatively small social circle. You do. You don't like let a lot of people.
I wouldn't
in.
Even call it a circle.
Right. That's what I'm getting at. Like, I would say Emeka and I are about as socially distant as a couple as possible anyways. So this isn't like a huge adjustment. We keep a pretty, you know, tight circle. Yours is even tighter. And you're single. So at a time like this, do you think that's like an advantage, or is that helping you? Is that hurting you? What?
I mean, I'm not like a hermit who just sits in all day and writes. Like, I go to the comedy store, get your pen off my couch. Yeah, I don't care.
It's nowhere near it.
I don't care how you're holding it. Like, it's just.
It's nowhere near it.
It's dangerous. I don't know why you're even touching my couch. You can just sit in a chair like a normal person.
You're spreading your germs all over the place.
The thing that I have is I get to go to the comedy store almost every night and perform. I'm around comedians all the time. So, yeah, I do keep it to myself, but I do socialize on a
daily basis. Oh, I mean, yeah, your
basis.
Friends, you have a million people that you know and you're, you know, friends with. But in terms of, like, people that, like, really matter, that is something I've thought about during this pandemic is, like, you think about the people that, like, really matter to you. You know
sure.
what I mean?
I don't think
about, like, the, you know, the just kind of, like, people you see at work or whatever. You know, the Ericas.
No, but sometimes there's people that you should think about. And, like, everyone who's checked in with me, I've been like, oh, like, best friends for life. Like, I'm so glad that you think of me like that. I was also thinking that Mario Lemieux had two nicknames. Super Mario, but the far superior Le Magnifique.
Mm.
I don't know if you guys knew that.
No, did people really call him Le Magnifique? I don't remember that.
I mean, he's fucking from Montreal. I don't know if I dropped that fact up top. I should have.
Just because you're from Montreal doesn't mean you're called Magnifique. It's kind of like if you go to Pro Football Reference and you like search the player's name, there's always nicknames for the player that no one actually calls him.
I mean, Greg, he won a gold medal for Canada in what I assume is hockey. I guarantee they call him Le Magnifique.
Like on Tom Brady's Pro Football Reference page right now, he is nicknamed Pharaoh.
This is in episode 12. You had your chance and you blew it. Okay? Mario Lemieux won the Hart Trophy 3 times. He once had Hodgkin's lymphoma.
How is he doing? Do you follow him on Twitter or anything? Like, how is he doing in this
I don't follow him on Twitter. If there's any news, I'm sure he's doing great. I'm sure he's doing great right now.
Are you getting out and around? Are you doing, like, what are you doing during these days now that you're not drinking?
I'm trying to read as much as possible. Reading has been big for me, and just taking walks.
How was the adjustment to going dry the first
day? Are you dry?
It's easy. And, you know, actually, we'll get into this because I know what's coming up on Erica's Corner, and I think we're going to cover a lot of the same things. So I will leave it at that. Anything else you want to bring up about your week? Anything else crazy happen?
No, I mean, what could be crazy right now? It's just like with the kids, like we will never spend more time than this together. And overall, it's good. Like I'm always surprised. Like the people that don't have kids often ask, like, or even my mom. So she would think she would know. She'd be like, "Oh, how are the kids holding up? Like, is this all scary for them?" And it's like
they have no idea.
No,
you got to show them some pictures.
Like that's
you got to get your kids. You got to get your kids in front
they
of the
love
news
it.
And let them see these people, and then tell them about Kobe. Because I think it's fucked up. You haven't
like,
told them about Kobe
yet. Do you want me to like put the picture up of the lines of people in New York, you know, trying to get ventilators? I mean, I guess I consider it my job. They know the coronavirus has changed their world, that they can't, you know, we're not going on vacation this week, and that's why they're out of school and this, that, and whatever.
I mean, Ellis was freaking never a big toucher anyway.
Yeah, they love it. They love it.
Did they know that Mario Lemieux is the only player with 3 8-point games? 3 8-point games? It's unbelievable.
I do have one positive, though, just from the family perspective, I feel like. And I'm not happy that it took this to happen, but I feel like finally Emeka is on Team Los Angeles. You know what I
really?
Mean?
Really?
Well, because
why?
Like...
Because of the pandemic?
Well, because you do not want to be... You do not want to be in New York right now.
No.
Not just because, and I, you know, I love New York. I wish I wanted to live there forever.
You should print t-shirts.
we lived there for 10 years. I thought I was in it to win it. I think we might move back someday. But yes, during this time, the thought of being there with your kids in such a small space and not just that it's going crazy there, but just like that getting out and everything, like the advantages that Los Angeles have are coming through right now, during the coronavirus.
Okay. That's,
wouldn't you say
that's good? Yeah. I mean, I'm glad I'm here, but I mean, you look at the map and if I was in fucking Omaha, I'd be a little more comfortable, you know, you wouldn't have like as much stuff around, but, you know, it's, this could go Dawn of the Dead real fast. and that was the week, and now it's time for Did We Get Any Notes? Get these rappers looking mad like damn, we so very, but that ain't nothing new, I seen that already. Erica, what was the name of that song?
100 Years.
By who?
By Dawn of the Dead.
Wow, you would have gotten kicked out of class immediately.
I was building.
No real notes. Jeremy, our rep at Comedy Central, promised to send booze more often, which might be a bad idea, but we always appreciate it. And he sent us some audio gear so that in case I need to do the podcast remote, like in case I think when you get sick or starts looking sick or I just don't want to look at your face, then I can do it from here. I have no idea how to set it up. It's still in the box. That Erica, you for sure have to come and do it all for me.
It takes 2 seconds. I could do it right after this.
I believe it. I'm a child. But we also just said some news. We started negotiations with the network, with Comedy Central, for a JRVP beyond episode 70. You know, we're under contract until 70.
It's only four more.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, that's coming up.
I can do the math. It's almost like the... Oh, no. I was going to say something else. 1984 is what I was thinking. That's the year Lemieux was drafted by the Penguins. they just started. I'm going to let the agents and everybody fight it out. I'll say I was shocked at where we're starting out, but we will get to 100 somehow, somewhere. And I'll say this. If things don't work out with Comedy Central, and like when they brought us on, they gave us a really big deal because it was like we were the first podcast they were doing in order to bring on premier talent, all right? You're two dads. You think they would be at Comedy Central if it wasn't for us? Absolutely not. Joe Firestone, do you think they could have landed her without us? No. And I'd like to be rewarded for that. But I do have faith it's going to work out. If it does not, though, I've promised everyone 100 episodes. We will go somewhere else and do 30 more. Mm. The amount of, like, think about how much I talk about the network when they pay us for this. Just imagine what those 30 episodes would even sound like. Like, I can't even, like, I'm going to have to get a thesaurus for those 30 episodes. Yeah, we said we weren't going to talk about it. But you know what? I ended up doing just
that. Yeah, we should be careful because...
I love everyone at Comedy Central. I'm not mad at anyone there. I understand the situation that they're in, both financially and in flux with this whole thing. But, you know, like, Greg, if you have a bad day, you still got to take care of your kids. You know what I'm saying? You still got to feed them.
Right.
You know? we're Comedy Central's children, and we're hungry. Just some mac and cheese.
A little frozen pizza. Something. It's early, but then again, with only four episodes left in this season, it's not that early. And it's almost like... it's like we have writers for this show. Because at the end of each season... Season one, it started going downhill real fast. Like, can we even get to the end of the first season without the NFL kicking us off? At the end of last season, towards the end, there was some drama. There was some...
Major drama.
Yeah, there was major drama.
Isn't this season two?
He's confusing...
RJV.
The last podcast with this one.
I mean, it's basically the same. It's probably, I mean, in some ways, the Rosenthal and Jessel Nick Vanity Project, RJVP.
It's completely different.
It's superior.
No.
I mean, I'm not saying, like, at least the ordering of the names was superior. No. It was a different type of podcast.
How much did we get paid for that podcast? How many dollars?
We did not get anything.
Yes.
For that podcast.
Yes.
But it was fun. But sort of the end of that, we wondered, can we land this plane without getting me fired? The end of season two, can we, you know, get back for us, you know, here for season three? Can we try to not ruin your relationship with Comedy Central? Because that's part of it too. You do have a show right now, Good Talk, which is right now, you know, not in production. You're on hiatus,
I assume it's going to happen. There's a chance it does not happen. But if it does not happen at Comedy Central, I take that show somewhere else. And then guess what we talk about on that show?
Because you want that show to happen, obviously.
I love
so you
that show.
You would not want to be burning
we've written it. We've
bridges
written guests. Like, I'm
Comedy
so excited
Central.
About the stuff we have already. It's not like I'm like, oh, I love doing the show. I hope we get a chance to do it again. It's like, we did it. We just didn't get to produce it. So I think it's an easy sell somewhere else. But again, I have faith that my friends at Comedy Central are going to come through. I've got great people around me. And, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I'm frankly surprised considering how like hard we've delivered in the first two seasons.
And the pandemic's not keeping us down.
No, not at all. We're not phoning it in. Like a couple of dads I'm not going to name. And that was, did we get any notes? Now let's take it down to a little place that, you know, we never have to negotiate. We just show up and go to work. It's called Erica's Corner.
You make me want to go back.
Erica Temposi is our 28-year-old producer, healthy-ish, and does a great job, has been you know, bringing the podcast to me as opposed to making me walk 10 minutes, which I really appreciate. So thank you for doing that, Erica. And as a gift for Erica, we like to give her a little slice of the podcast for herself to ask us a question, viewer email, play a game, and of course the all important listener comments. So Erica, shine.
Yeah, so I took your advice last week and sort of did answer a few emails, just because a lot of people keep reaching out because they're home alone or they're with people or going through some stuff. So send some more at jrvpjuniorvicepresident@gmail.com. So this one says, I have a question for Anthony. I have chronic depression and find myself in this spiral when for some time I do sports, learn, write, and am productive. But shortly after, it's like I bring myself down. Can't feel that well, right? And escape to alcohol, junk food, gaming all day, and feeling sorry. And I can't seem to find my way back up. Current situation doesn't help, and a bottle of wine a day is my minimum. So how do you keep yourself motivated and keep going? Hope I didn't bum you guys out. Jan.
Jan, you did not bum us out at all. We're cool with this. I like talking about things like this. I like being open and honest about these things. And again, I'm not a healthcare professional. I'm not a therapist. So like, I take this with a grain of salt. You know, I'm going to give you my most honest take on this. It might not be the best plan. But I, you know, it's work to keep yourself going. I get depressed sometimes. I go in and out of things, and I try to just kind of go with the flow of it and use it. Like, I've written some of my best jokes when I've been like depressed, like unable to sleep at like 5 a.m. I've been extremely productive for long stretches of time, and then I'm just like off the wagon, just like getting trashed and partying for like a month. What I've learned to do is just don't beat yourself up over it. Like, you will, your body and your mind will tell you when to kind of go back and move forward. Like, people are like, is it hard to not be drinking right now? Like, no, I drank so much over like 48 hours that it was like a pleasant to drink a bunch of water, dry out, eat healthy, work out, go for walks. Just try to take care of yourself. You know, if you do get drunk, like, go for a walk. You know what I mean? Like, not while you're drunk, but like the next day, like, try to just get some fresh air and don't just sit in it. But I see a therapist. I talk to a therapist almost every week to work on myself. That it's not easy and it's not supposed to be. That's what life is like. So I would say, like, you know, have the good times and know they're not always going to last. So you appreciate them more. And during the bad times, just know that that's not forever. That listen to your body, listen to your mind. And you know, maybe a bottle of wine a day is something you need right now. And next week, you're going to be like, you know what? That's the last thing I want. And that's fine too. So stay hydrated and talk to people. But yeah, don't worry. I think a lot of people are in your same situation, Jan. And I can't believe I'm giving advice to people in a medical situation like this, but I am. And that's what I do. And it works for me. Greg tries to make fun of me for it, but I,
What have I tried to make fun of you for?
Anytime I get drunk, you like love to be like, what about when you, and you like, you think it's so great 'cause you don't drink and I do drink.
I don't think it's so great. I just have fun. Yeah.
Yeah, but you think you're better than me in some
poking.
Way.
No.
Even though I'm wildly successful.
I don't think you're better. I would never think I was better than someone that likes to drink or smoke as much as they want or do whatever. I'm not a judgmental person. In fact, I'm like weirdly attracted, like a moth to a flame, generally, to people with depression, with substance
abuse. Shout out to the wife. Do you know Mario Lemieux used to smoke half a pack of cigarettes a day until he got Hodgkin's lymphoma?
Really?
I did
half a pack
that.
A day as a professional athlete at the top of this game.
Huh.
It's very true. What is the comment of the week?
For sure. So this one is 5 stars, best ever, and this is from yesterday. I was late to the party, as y'all were 50-something episodes in when I found this. I listened to those 50-ish episodes in less than a week. Wow. I dread the day when this is over. ...
Hey, you're preaching to the choir. But good on you. Good on you. Who's it from?
Best ever was the
We do
title.
Appreciate the uptick.
Chattis TX.
The uptick in comments.
These are all iTunes comments?
Yeah.
That we've had since we've started reading them. So keep putting them out there. Keep going 5 stars. Maybe tweet at maybe don't tweet at Comedy Central.
Don't tweet at Comedy. That's not gonna the people who would see those tweets are not the people who are in charge of this. Like, I probably couldn't name the people who are in charge of this. So there's no one actually to get mad at other than like the corporate logo. So don't feel like you've got to speak out on our behalf. And I can't imagine that the iTunes comments would sway. But no. I'll tell you what will sway some people is
ad copy.
The Jessel Nick and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Brought to you by Hims. You've heard us talking about Hims. I can't stop talking about Hims. This is more of like a Hims podcast that we like work in things about our week. I'm just all about helping guys look their best. And if you haven't yet, I don't know, maybe this is the first episode you're listening to. You haven't heard me praise Hims to the ceiling. I believe is how that phrase goes. It's time to see what they're about. 66% of men. 66. Like, this couldn't write itself. I'm not making up that number. 66% of men start to lose their hair by age 35.
It's like a switch just went on.
Not Lemieux. Once you've noticed thinning hair, it can't be too late. You know, Eric is getting a little patchy. I'm good. Greg's good. but why do guys turn to weird solutions when they can turn to medicine and science? And sometimes I get it. You're embarrassed. You don't want to go to a doctor, especially right now, and be like, hey, doc, I know you're dealing with the coronavirus, but I'm starting to thin up top a little bit. What can you do for me? So this is the perfect thing. ForHims.com. ForHims.com. One-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness for men. Step aside, ladies. It's time to write a new chapter, one in which you have hair. Now, I think this is just so perfect. You can just Skype with a doctor. Greg, get that pen away from my couch.
It's not anywhere near it.
I swear to you.
It's pointed in the opposite
That couch
direction.
Is going to be different color by the time this podcast is over. Take it out of your hands. I wouldn't get a dog. Don't make me regret having you in my apartment. This is all part of the Hims ad copy, by the way. You connect you to a real doctor online. It can save you hours. It's completely confidential and discreet. Answer a few questions. A doctor will review. And if the determinant's right for you, they can prescribe you medication that is shipped directly to your door. If it's not right for you, they'll tell you that. And you can try to find something else. But right now, JRVP listeners can get started with their first month free. Go to forhims.com/vanity. That's forhims.com/vanity, V-A-N-I-T-Y. Prescription requires an online consultation with a physician who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Offer valid only if prescribed. 3-month minimum subscription. Additional restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Remember, that's forhims.com/vanity. And after retiring for 3 years, Mario Lemieux returned to the ice on December 27, 2000, against the Toronto Maple Leafs, single-handedly holding off the 9/11 terrorist attacks for almost 9 months. And that was
ad copy.
Thank you, Erica. Greg, let's get to headlines.
Oh, boy. We could not start anywhere else but the news that has rocked the world. It's really the news that finally knocked the coronavirus off the front page. It's Jeremy Renner's debut EP coming out. He knew the people needed it. Unite people in a pure way.
And you're thinking to yourself right now, Anthony, didn't Jeremy Renner put out an EP already? How is this his debut? That's how good it is. All right? He's put out a bunch of songs in the past. But this new EP, this extended play, is what EP stands for. This is like an introduction to music. It's amazing. You've been listening to chimpanzees bang on pots and pans your whole life until you listen to this one. And what's it called, Greg?
It's called Unite People in a Pure Way.
No, it is not.
Oh, it's called The Medicine.
It's called The Medicine.
That headline you sent me, that was a quote. He wants to unite people in a pure way.
Of course he does. Of course, but how do you do that? With medicine. He had the balls to release his debut EP during an epidemic, during a pandemic, and call it The Medicine. And he's not wrong. He's not wrong. Sometimes, like, people say, I've got an ego. Sure, but I back it up 100% of the time. I'm like Mario Lemieux.
He has released songs before. He's been part of soundtracks when he's in the movie. But as you mentioned, this is the first time songs.
Sorry to interrupt you, Greg, but that is that's the height of musicality.
Right.
When you do the soundtracks to only movies that you're in, that's when you know that you've really got it.
Yeah, when you've got the leverage to say like, hey, Arctic Dogs, how about throw in Heaven Has a Name? But don't worry, if you love some of those songs, they're still on Spotify. And he did make sure to put Main Attraction on this EP. So it does have a previously released songs, but six brand new ones.
And Greg and I, full disclosure, Erica was not involved with this. Mm. We had a Zoom listening party with Jeremy Renner where he played the songs, acoustic versions, but the album rocks,
right?
But acoustic versions just for us. We've heard them. We can't play them on the air right now because of the pandemic, but go through the track list. And
okay.
We'll
yeah. Why don't we go through all seven in order? Number one, of course, off the EP, The Medicine, is the eponymous track, The Medicine.
Yeah. I mean, he went right to you're listening to it and you're like kind of, you want to feel better. He doesn't make you wait. He gives you the medicine right away. And a lot of times they'll take the best track and they'll just call the whole album that track. Mm. And this is one of those times. It is just incredible. He lists almost every different kind of medicine. It's almost like a love letter to Jonas Salk, if you will. But it's just an incredible, incredible song. And you're going to want to listen to it again and again, but you don't have to. Because it's going to be in your head forever.
It's like Billy Joel, We Didn't Start the Fire, except just a lot of different types of medicine.
It's exactly like We Didn't Start the Fire, if you think about it.
He did say it. I just wanted to include a quote he had on Instagram when he put up The Medicine. Again, available now. He needs that money for child support. He's trying to cut that back because of the pandemic. He said, common ground can be hard to find in today's world, but music has remained a constant to me. To feel deeply, to dance fervently, and to live together is more present now than ever.
Hmm. It's beautiful.
All right, track number two.
You think that's a lyric to one of the songs?
Maybe it's to Never Sorry, track number two, 3 minutes and 30 seconds of heaven.
Never Sorry, I was a little surprised, you know what I mean? Just like, I didn't expect him to rap, you know what I mean? But from the get-go, he is like, he's good.
Yeah.
He's good. He does one of those things where he turns the guitar over and plays it like a drum. And this guy is fucking never sorry. All right.
Right.
He even brings up biting his kid on the shoulder.
Right.
And he's like, you know what? Not sorry at all.
Yeah. It's been a little taboo. It's hasn't been like an area that too many musicians have explored, but Jeremy Renner is fearless, and he's gonna get into child support payments in his music. He's gonna get into like all the legal problems he's had with his ex-wife.
He says the only time he was almost sorry was marrying his first wife, but then he said nope, never sorry. I'm not doing it justice. You've got to listen to it.
Track number three is called Every Woman.
Every Woman. This, again, another rap song, which I was surprised that he would go back to back with them. But this one's more of like a reggae infused. He's singing a little more. Like it's like the auto-tune singing that, and what's it called again? Every Woman?
Every Woman.
Every
yeah.
Woman, yeah. It's like Mamba Number 5, where he pretty much just starts naming names. He's just naming women, first and last names, for what seems like 45 minutes.
It's like, What women can Jeremy Renner get? Every woman. That's how many.
What women? Every woman? That doesn't even make sense.
I'm just saying, he knows all about it. Every woman on the street would love to be with Jeremy Renner.
Yeah, but that's not what the song's about. The song's just about him pointing out women and trying to get to as many as he can before the song runs out. He only had so much studio time.
It's a song that, yeah, it's a good thing he got it in before the pandemic.
You know who that song is for, Greg? Every woman. Like, it doesn't matter who you are or how you feel about Jeremy Renner, how you feel about music in general, you can listen to that song and find something for yourself. It's about you.
Track number four is called Best Part of Me.
Best Part of Me? It's a song Jeremy Renner is singing entirely about his back. where he keeps the guitar, which is shocking because in the, I think this is an Easter egg for the fans,
yeah,
on the cover of The Medicine, it's a picture of Jeremy Renner's back. He's at the piano, no guitar on it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because he said he really is a man that feels free, nothing in his life but the, you know, the song in his head and the guitar on his back.
Mm-hmm. And like a piano in front of him. You know, he's boxed in. But this is the best part of me is just him talking about his back and how many guitars he can fit on it. It's a lot. I hope they do a video because it sounds like upwards to 8 guitars, which I didn't even think was possible. But maybe they weren't that heavy. I don't know. Maybe they don't all have strings.
It was like I enjoyed it, but it was like a little too much of like an instruction manual for me. You know what I mean? Like where to place each guitar.
Yeah, but when he personalizes it, when it's the best part of him, you know what I mean? Then I think it's okay.
And
I like the rap. I like the rap at the end that he does.
Track number 5, Ghost and Roses.
Ghost and Roses, I mean, this goes without saying. It's about going to his mom's funeral, not knowing she was dead. Just bringing roses to her, thinking like, oh, I'm going to go see mom. Hmm. And they're like, Jeremy, it's the fucking funeral right now. And he's like, what? And then he just like throws them in there. And then ghosts come out of the the gravesite, holding a flower.
Whoa!
Yeah,
I think he's at his best when he's
because he was like, if you don't know, Jeremy Renner's mom is no longer with us and was buried at an Indian burial ground, and so the spirits are just everywhere over there. And I think it was a dick move of his dad not to say, we're going to your mom's funeral. Don't bring the roses.
You know, just say, hey, why don't you come over Saturday?
Yeah. Come hang out.
It is kind of impressive, though, because usually when you think of, like, emotion, you know, you don't think of, like, really battle rapping. But he snuck that in on this song, too.
A lot of guest stars on that one. Like, a lot of guest stars. He goes back and forth, and Renner wins every time.
December Days, track number 6. December Days.
That's a sad one. You know, it's a sad one. It's a Christmas song, but it's also a sad one. It's about, he's kind of playing a character in this one where he is his mom is Jewish and his dad is Christian, but neither one of them celebrate their own holidays. So he doesn't get either one. You know what I mean? He has to just kind of sit there in these December days while his friends get toys and his parents get things for themselves, but nothing for him. They're both atheist, like former Christian/Jewish people.
It explains a lot, like where the anger comes from, the emotion. It's kind of like my household, except the Christian part. And we did do Christmas.
And you're not Jewish,
right? But the, you know, the atheist and not really having a holiday to wrap your minds around.
Sure. I just like the line, the autobiographical line, like it's these December days again, biting my own shoulder just to feel something. You know, I thought was touching, like what we know about Jeremy.
Right. I thought it's weird if like he introduces the lyrics to December Days as part of the child support settlement, you know. Trial going on.
I'm taking it back to that. He's a friend, Greg, and I don't think we should kick him always down.
Track 7 is Main Attraction.
This is the last song, right?
Yeah.
It's the Main Attraction. It's all kind of leading up to this where he just kind of sings the words Main Attraction over and over and over again. For how long is the song?
It's 322.
Yeah, 322. Just Main Attraction over and over again. I got to think that this was probably like the WWE asked him to do music for them, and then he repurposed it.
Well, as you know, Main Attraction is one of the songs that were used on the Jeep commercial. So it is one song that had been released previously. As Renner said in this article that we read, they promote the heck out of their Jeeps.
Yeah. So if you like that Jeep commercial and you've been trying to find the song, get it there. Main Attraction by Jeremy Renner. And again, the album is called?
It's The Medicine.
The Medicine.
He says his family was his first love, but music was next. Acting only came into Renner's head when he was around 20. Music has been his first love as far as something other than my family.
Do you think he ever bit the shoulder of his guitar, like as hard as he could? You think his music is sex-obsessed? Probably.
How else would the guitar know that he loves him?
It's true. I'm about to blast, nigga. Better run when I come, I'm a psycho. Eric, what was the name of that song?
Seven Mistakes.
Seven Ooh. Mistakes by who?
By Night Sky.
By Night Ooh. Sky. Ooh, that sounds like a good one. I like that. Greg, what's our next headline?
Our next headline's from New Orleans, where the city that we love is struggling through some hard times right now because of the coronavirus. The cases, the death, everything has been picking up since we last spoke last week. But it's also weirdly been a tough time there for rats because rats, depend on all the food being thrown out there and other things going on in New Orleans. And right now, with the streets empty like Bourbon Street, we are hearing that the rats are taking over.
Mayor LaToya Cantrell says with many restaurants closed in the quarter, the rats are looking anywhere for a meal.
It's driving our rodents crazy.
Okay, that's what's going on. I assume when I saw the headline, I thought it was one of those, like, you know how like in Venice, Italy, they're like, since the coronavirus shut down, there's like, you see dolphins swimming in the rivers and everything, like in the canals, that like nature's kind of coming back.
Mm-hmm.
That I thought this was like kind of like the rats were like enjoying, you know, not almost getting stepped on. It's like, oh no, they can't eat. They haven't had a lucky dog in a week and they're freaking out.
Right.
So people are trapping them and killing them, or trapping them and like relocating them somewhere.
I don't know what they're, I think because the, you know, some of the people from the city are trying to trap them. Yes. And I don't know what they do with them, relocate them, because they don't want them to spread disease. They don't want them to be, biting homeless people or biting anyone at all. But this shop owner told a story of, you know, he saw 30 rats all congregating on, like, against one piece of food in the middle of Bourbon Street, which sounds about as terrifying as it gets.
I don't know. I've seen worse things on Bourbon Street. That doesn't even sound that bad. That sounds like Bourbon Street any night at like 4 a.m. Yeah, I mean, I hope people in New Orleans are doing okay. But if you can just get, if this gets rid of your rats, more power to you.
Hey, I also liked how they treated this story very seriously. CBS News did it on their national Saturday show, and I liked the way they reacted off of it.
It's a difficult time to be a rat, really, at this time as well, because the food is limited. They're going to start fighting with each other.
Yeah, let's worry about the rats right now. No one's worried about the rats, but I worry about the people of New Orleans. Stay safe and kill all your rats. Knocking on this door, you in search of something not popular. A town so little, you knew who everyone doctor was. So walk was oh so common, you lucky to catch the county bus. Erica, what was that song?
Dark Days.
By who?
By The Year.
Dark Days by The Year.
Yeah.
Wow.
Someone
got themselves a calendar.
Yeah.
All right. Unfortunately, a criminal has taken advantage of the coronavirus situation in the Netherlands, where a Vincent van Gogh painting was stolen early Monday morning on what would have been the artist's 167th birthday. The burglar broke into a museum, stole the painting around 3:15 in the morning.
You know, Marlon Mew has the record for most shorthanded goals in a season.
Did not know that.
Yeah. I always love whenever I hear about like not a bank robbery, because people get scared, but whenever there's an art heist, I'm always super into it. It just makes me think of the Thomas Crown Affair. It's almost a victimless crime. You know, people don't get to see that painting anymore, but you can't really sell it. There's like nothing you can do with it because everyone knows this is the fucking painting that Van Gogh did that got stolen. So you'd have to just like hide it for a long time. So I just think like to go through all of that, to break into a museum on the guy's birthday, even like compounding the injury, I always think is just super cool. Like just a team of guys was just like one guy coming in. I think art heists are awesome. I think it's like the new like cool crime. Everything else is like hacking and like on the internet. I want old fashioned break in the museum. Have a bunch of guys come in as like almost decoys, and then foil the robbery yourself, and then slide it underneath the gate right before it closes, and it crushes like a briefcase you put there for that purpose. And then you have a different briefcase that you take the painting off the wall, stick it in that one, and then kind of just roll out of there. You know what I mean? And just walk out with the crowd while they chase these other guys. I think that's the cool way to go.
Because, you know, people who work at museums, like there's that famous there was that theft in Boston where they stole about like 13 paintings from the Isabella Stuart Gardner Museum. And like they, like the people that work there, they've done a lot, you know, it like hurts them to this day that they've never been able to recover these paintings, and they think it's like, you know, amazing, but you're not feeling that.
Sometimes when, like if they recover it, then great. You know what I mean? But when they, when they're like people, sometimes they'll cut them up and throw them away because they like don't want to get in trouble. That freaks me out. I think a lot of it ends up on like, you know, like rich, like Saudi oil guys, like bedroom walls and stuff like that. Like they don't care. Like no cops are coming in there. They don't give a shit. But I do like art museum heists.
I like this one because like you said, they can't do anything with it, and it's just like them. You know, they found broken glass and that one painting was missing. They didn't take anything else. It was just like this one specific Van Gogh that they wanted to get because they're doing it for the love of the game. There's no payoff. They are doing it just for the thrill of doing that.
Yeah.
Just to like show that they can. They are living in the moment. They're seeing this coronavirus and they're like, all right, I got to do what I've always wanted to do. I'm going to steal this Van Gogh.
Greg, they're Mario fucking Lemieux.
All right, another coronavirus story, an unfortunate one, a Rwandan man.
As opposed to what?
I don't know. You're right.
Give me the fortunate coronavirus story.
Well, they're trying to sell us this whole thing of when like people are, you know, cheering for the hospital workers outside the window when they get off of their shift, but...
Yeah, I'm sure they love that shit. I'm sure they're like, thanks, guys.
Like, I'm always just thinking, like, can we get these people some more help, you know, more money?
Some money and some masks. I don't need your applause. No one cares. What are we, firefighters in October of 2001?
It's why you can't be giving the verbal tip anymore to your grocery store clerk. That's what we used to call it as a waiter. Anyone who like overly thanked you as a waiter, rarely, you know, they always gave crappy tips because they, you know, they thought by being nice to you, that was like the way that they made themselves feel better, but they didn't necessarily give you the money. Like, don't thank your grocery store person, you know, by like being nice to them. That's nice too, but yeah, give them a 20.
Yeah, it never occurred to me to give a tip to a grocery store.
But like, right? Well, I mean, neither until this week. Like, because we talked about the essential workers right now. Like I don't know what the word for it is, but the people that are deemed essential are like almost uniformly underpaid, like wildly underpaid.
Yeah, that's a great way to get into the story, Greg.
You brought it up. You asked for what's a positive coronavirus story. I mean, this one, I wouldn't say it's positive unless you were a crocodile.
I think this is why you have to isolate and self-quarantine. Because if you don't, this is going to happen to you.
All right. So in Rwanda, you're not allowed to leave the house. They are on lockdown. A man who breached the lockdown was eaten by a crocodile this week.
Yep. Went out fishing. Was like, screw the quarantine. I'm going to get up my boat. And fish and crocodiles were like, what are you doing? I'm not going to give you a positive story today. I just think like just the idea that you would leave and be like, what's the worst that can happen? I get coronavirus. And then you get eaten by a fucking crocodile. Like if everyone who would like ignore the quarantine, like in Florida, where they're like having parties and like and hanging out and like treating it like it's a big joke. If they all get eaten by crocodiles, I'd be psyched. I'd be psyched.
I mean, imagine if just like four Floridians were eaten by crocodiles when they left their house. People would stop leaving their house.
No, I
maybe
don't know.
The government should consider letting the crocodiles loose.
Like when you see people like on a golf course and there's a big giant crocodile and they're like, look at that. I'm like, I would never golf ever again. It reminds me of my favorite alligator story ever. Alligators or crocodiles? Do you know? Remember what I'm talking about? We may have talked about this on the podcast before, but there was like a I think it was like a bridal party or something. It was like not a bridal, like a wedding party. And the day before they're going, they're like walking along. There's like doing a swamp tour or something. And there's this body of water. And someone says, the tour guide or like the guy is like, now do not go in that water. It's full of crocodiles. And one guy drunk just takes a running start and screams, fuck you, crocodiles, does a cannonball into the water and is immediately devoured by alligators. Yeah, look it up.
Oh my God.
Screamed his last words were, fuck you. Either alligators or crocodiles, I don't know the difference. No one has ever been able to tell what the difference is between the two. But yeah, that's my favorite crocodile story. This is the second favorite. I like a guy being like, nope, I'm not going to self-quarantine. I'm going to get eaten by a crocodile.
I mean, it's pretty bad luck. Who knows? Maybe he was out there all by himself. That's a tough way to go because I would not imagine it would be that quick. You know what I mean?
No, I think it's very quick. Here's what I guarantee happened. He was fishing. He caught a fish. Went to go get the fish. Crocodile came up, got his arm, got something. And when they kill you, they don't eat you. They just take you, they drag you down and spin you until you drown. And then they hide your body somewhere and they eat you over time. So I think you're just like, what the? And then you're drowning. Like, I don't think it's as bad as...
That sounds like the worst thing possible. First of all,
everybody goes into shock.
Everyone says drowning. Well, I thought drowning's one of the worst ways to go. Like one of the... Because it's not... It's not instantaneous. It's you're becoming more and more aware that you are, you know, dying.
I've heard both. It's most peaceful because like once your diaphragm explodes, right? Like that's the worst part. Once that happens, it's like water trickling in your ear and you just kind of like you like drift off in
right,
oxygen deprivation.
It takes like 30-40 seconds to get to that
but
point.
But when a crocodile is spinning you around, like you can't like hold your breath. So you're dead almost immediately and you're in such shock, he does not know what happened. If that guy's in heaven right now, he does not know how he died. He's just trying to find out if it's got a name. And now let's take it down too.
Choo choo.
Recommendation station. Greg, what do you got?
Why don't you go first today?
Okay.
This poor guy bled out because the crocodile got just his forearm and he was like in the... That's not what
right,
happened,
I'm saying
like,
it might take
knows?
A while. You're extending that thing 30 to 40 seconds there. The crocodiles. You're combining drowning with a crocodile eating. That's like double the
They don't eat you.
The
they
pleasure.
Bite you and then spin you around underwater until you drown. Mm. It's the coolest way you can die. My recommendation this week is a book I read a little while ago, but I've been reading newer books that I wanted to kind of give shout outs to while they were still new. And now I've finally gotten back to this one. It's a great book, very famous, Run Your Plow Over the Bones of the Dead by Olga Tokarczuk, T-O-K-A-R-C-Z-U-K, Polish writer. I read it. My friend was talking about it, and I picked it up in a bookstore and looked at the inside cover, and it sounded really interesting. There's an old woman who lives in the woods. People don't like her. She's a solitary person. People around her start to die. And I was like, I'm in. Like, it sounds like a cool murder mystery. And this thing won all kinds of awards. And it's not that at all. It's much different than I thought it was going to be. And I still loved it. Highly recommend it. You've heard of this book, right?
I have. I've heard of her in general. And I've heard of her new book, Flights, which is supposed to be great.
I think Flights was before this one. Oh, okay. But Run Your Plow Over the Bones of the Dead. I mean, I'm going to buy that book. If you titled
it's an
that
amazing
book,
title.
It's a great title. I forget who she's quoting, but it's a great one.
I'm going to recommend a movie, Portrait of a Lady on Fire. You want to talk about great titles? That's a great title, Portrait of a Lady on Fire. Especially because it's one of those movies.
Let me guess what it's about. If I guess what it's about, am I going to guess right?
Sure.
Have you seen it?
Mm-mm.
You should see it. Go ahead.
Oh, I thought you were going to guess.
No, I already know. I don't want to
finish it off. It's about
two women who fall in love.
It is about two women who fall in love.
Yes, that's what I thought.
And it's set in the...
How did you get that by the title?
Late 18th century. Because I mentioned it like 3 or 4 weeks ago that on the podcast that we were maybe... Or maybe it wasn't on the podcast, but to you, that maybe we'd go see it after the show, but we didn't time it well. And then suddenly coronavirus hit and I never saw it. But guess what? It's on Hulu now. It's set in the 18th century. It is really good.
I guess by the poster. If you see the poster, it's like, oh, yeah, this is what it is.
It's a,
if it was like Charlize Theron holding a Molotov cocktail, I'd be like, this looks cool.
It is like a slow burn and a slow build of a movie. But it's really good. It's like the tension that they build in it is pretty great. And it doesn't matter that it's like a lesbian drama or not. I mean, obviously that's a factor, but it's just like a great romance. And I'm not usually into like romantic movies, but it was fantastic.
Oh, so a lesbian drama from the 1800s is a slow burn?
Yeah.
Okay. Erica, what do you have for us?
I've been watching a lot of like just trash reality TV to sort of unwind, so I'm not going to recommend any of that. But what I have been doing with some friends is we've all picked out recipes that we really like and that we want to make, and we put them into a book. And then we picked someone for, say it was Anthony's turn, he would open up the book, randomly flip to a page, and then that would be the recipe that we would all cook in our separate houses. So it's been a fun little way to sort of, you know, create your own destiny type of dinner, and it's been fun.
So that, I mean, that sounds like a fun thing to do in your 20s. If you suggested that right now, I would lose my goddamn mind. But that sounds fun for the kids. If you're out there with your friends, you're quarantining, you want to, what do they call it? Like recipe roulette?
Yeah.
That's what it's called?
Well, we made it up. Yeah. Okay. So okay. Yeah, whatever you
can
you
use that
call
name.
It. Yeah, that's great.
Go ahead. And now, you know what? Paige, give me a little Mario Lemieux action. Give me a little Le Magnifique and get us out of here.
Oh, knife for toddle. That's a spicy meatball.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.